Is it time for a podcast already?
Check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2, check 1 2.
All right.
I didn't know that.
Listeners, welcome back for another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. Tonight, Maddie and I are coming at you with somebody, you know, some people's favorite topics, cult classics.
Oh, yeah.
We have dusted this off from the shelf, and we are going to dig into some of our favorite cult classic films. And we're also going to debate some whether we think if they're a true cult classic or not so much. Which also, disclaimer guys, there is no possible way that we could fit every single cult classic film as an honorable mention or as a complete dive-in topic for tonight's episode. So if we don't mention your favorites, shoot us an email and maybe we could do a part two. Shoot us an email or mention us on social media, and maybe we can do a part two if we have enough that, you know, movies or pretty much anything that you guys want us to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, that's a really good idea. I wasn't even thinking about that far. But
yeah.
But truth. I mean, if there's something that we missed tonight, pinpoint us. Let us know. We could really come back to it at another time.
Yeah, we sure can. So we could do a part two. So, like, I know that, you know, Matt put up a Facebook post, and We got some feedback on that. Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely did. And you know what? We're going to bring up that feedback just to kind of show and tell everybody, you know, what everybody was mentioning this week. I think there was a good variety mentioned. There was a good back and forth. But again, maybe something's missing, and if it is, let us know. So
yeah, 100%.
But yeah, Jen, we missed you last week. Before we dive into this week's episode, you know, this is episode 53.
Yeah.
This is our cult classic special, I guess you could say.
Yes. And the title of tonight's episode is That Rug Really Tied the Room Together.
Yeah. I love that. And
from,
if anybody knows where that's from, that is from Big Lebowski. Yep.
Yes.
So we definitely are going to touch base on that. But real quick, I just really want to give a nice plug in here and a shout out. Sean Kane, thanks for joining us last week and doing that Watergate episode. It has been doing a tremendous job over the week with downloads, and it's been doing really good actually with plays. It's actually the highest played episode on our Podomatic account.
Yeah.
So kudos to that. I'm really looking forward to having Sean back on for future episodes because we're really cooking up some real interesting topics for later on. So thanks, Sean, for coming back on with the Watergate episode.
Yeah, 100%. He will be back later in the summer talking about a few more awesome topics.
All right, so tonight, where do we begin?
All right, I want to know, what is your all-time favorite cult classic film? Your all-time favorite, if you can only choose one.
Okay, all-time favorite. I mean, yeah. Wow, that talk
you
about
can
coming
only
right.
Choose one.
I can only choose one. All right. And I know some people are probably going to say, okay, yep, that's awesome. And some are probably going to say, oh, come on, you know, I was expecting something different. I'm definitely going with The Big Lebowski.
Okay. I knew that,
that
was
is coming. My all-time favorite. That is my all-time favorite.
It's not a bad one. Like,
no,
like, it gives us Jeff Daniels, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi. It's chock full of actors. Tara Reid's in it as Bunny.
Yep.
Matt, the guy from Twister.
Oh,
Dusty.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. I always forget his last name. He's in it. And it's just, I don't know, I think it's a funny film. I really do.
Yeah, you did say, like, okay, so John Goodman was in there.
Yeah, he's my favorite character.
But real Walter. Quick, with Jeff Daniels in there, too, right? I don't think it was Jeff Daniels, it was Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yes, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges. And Julianne Moore, if anybody remembers Julianne Moore.
Oh, yeah, she was the redhead.
Yep. Yep, she was the redhead. Mm-hmm. So, and you know what the funny thing is? I completely forgot about Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Okay, yeah, he was, like, the assistant to, like, yeah. actually, like, the Big Lebowski.
Right, he was the assistant, yep. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, here's another thing, too, like, modern reflection of the Big Lebowski. This does not solidify why it's my favorite of the cult classic category, but if we look back at our Marvel MCU films, if we go back to Endgame, where we saw Thor hit a rough patch, I guess we could say, Thor kind of displayed
PTSD. Yeah.
Yeah, he was going through, right. He was going through a pretty tough time there, and we kind of got a little bit of a Big Lebowski vibe where he was
like the dude.
Yep. So I kind of liked how they kind of portrayed that. Like, they kind of threw that in as an Easter egg to kind of reflect on Thor. But, yeah, I thought that was cool. But, yeah, that would be my all-time favorite. Now I got to ask you, because it's only right. Now we're sitting here. All-time favorite, cult classic, what is yours?
If I can only choose one.
You got to choose one.
We got a pretty steep list here.
We do.
If I can only choose one, it's definitely going to have to be Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I kind of knew that was coming. And you know what? And I'm not going to lie. I mean, Rocky Horror Picture Show is, it's up there on my top five. There's no question about it. It is in top five. But yeah, I kind of knew that was coming.
Yeah, I know all the words to the songs. I know the dances. I've gone to see it in the theaters where you bring all of your props, and I've seen it live, and... Yeah, yep. It's a good one. It's a fun one.
And real quick, just so everybody knows, right? I think this is also important to add to the cult classic topic tonight. If somebody, because I've gotten this, people are asking like, how would you define, what is a cult classic? A cult classic, or I guess you could say a cult movie, it is defined as something different than your regular mainstream movies. But cult films are pretty much, they're known as movie pieces that are, you know, for dedicated, passionate fan bases. They form this elaborate subculture, members to engage with. And also, I mean, the other big thing is that, you know, it's acquired a cult following over time. And by cult following, I mean, it could really widespread on a lot of different things. People could dress up, they could partake in movie events, parties, where they, they might be, dressing up as a favorite character or something like that, or cosplaying. But yeah, really, I mean, it's more so acquired towards that cult following, the big following of falling in love with characters, engaging with characters, engaging with those moments in movies. It's, again, a dedicated, passionate fan base, which forms the elaborate structure of, you know, us engaging in the viewing of it. So that's the only way that I could really define it. I'm trying not to take somebody's words here or try to, you know, word for word or copy somebody from what they wrote. But yeah, just an FYI there, if anybody doesn't know what a cult movie or a cult film is.
Yeah. And so we've got a list of, some good ones to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, all right. Do we want to take it from the top, or do you want to start?
Well, I'm going to take this from the top. Let me just say, because I'm trying to get my beer and my water here in order, because I'm drinking Sam Adams Wicked Hazy. It's a really good beer, by the way.
Okay.
My cousin from Boston did not send this to me.
From Boston, yeah.
Okay, no. But yeah, it's a good beer. But yeah, let's start from the top. Let's go from our top list all the way down to the bottom.
Okay. Should we mention, because, you know, we just briefly spoke about our favorites.
We did talk about our favorites, yep.
Okay. So do we want to continue those in the list and talk about the actual films? Yeah. All right. So then at the top of the list here, and this is in no order either, guys. So, like, this is just, like, Matt and I were sitting down and we were rambling stuff off. So the Rocky Horror
Picture Show is where we're not ranking
these. We're diving in first.
Yep.
So Tim Curry. Any film that has Tim Curry in it is fantastic.
Yep. 100%. I feel like you could play dress up for a lot of his characters.
Yes, you know? You sure can.
And really, yeah, right?
I really like Rocky Horror. I think it's fun. And it actually, the other question that we have to talk about tonight is, who is our all-time favorite characters?
Yeah.
So, I guess my favorite character in the Rocky Horror Picture Show is Eddie, who is played by Meatloaf. So we get Meatloaf as an actor in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, we also see, if you remember, Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny, we also see Meatloaf as the father in the beginning when JB was a young boy.
Right.
So, I really enjoy seeing Meatloaf as an actor.
Okay.
The soundtrack is banging. I love it. I love everything about it.
Music is phenomenal to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can't get into the... I mean, that's one part that actually... if we go back to the cult classic and the cult film aspect of engaging with the film to be part of the film, it's the music, you know? Music is such a big and critical point. But, yeah, that's a good character. I love that choice. I'm definitely not dogging it. Mm-hmm. So... how about some other movies? Do we have anything else on the list that we want to keep going on?
Yeah, so let's continue with the Tim Curry Show, and it's Clue.
Mm.
So, Clue is my favorite board game ever.
Mine
I
too.
I love Clue.
Yep. Actually, there's a toss-up, because between favorite board games, yes, Clue is on there, but I'm also going to, and again, how generic and how, you know, typical, Monopoly.
No, Monopoly is trash,
yes.
Matt.
Monopoly and Clue are my top two favorite board games.
It's so long. I don't know, I like Clue. Clue is fun.
But Monopoly, you could... go ahead.
I even have, like, the phone app, so, like, if I'm, like, mad bored, like, you know, if I'm, like, waiting somewhere or whatever, like, I usually pull out my phone and I'm like, oh, let's play a round of Clue.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite character in Clue?
Do I have a favorite character in Clue?
Yeah.
So, because I am blonde, I technically choose whatever Miss Scarlet is, because in the phone app, you can, like, play as different, like, board game themes. Like, there's, like, a tropical cruise, the ski resort.
Right.
There's, like, Egypt, the... like Murder on the Orient Express theme. So like I typically play the blonde girl is usually the character that I go for.
I'm trying to think. Was that Yvette?
Miss Scarlet?
No, I don't think that was her. I think Miss Scarlet you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking of Yvette.
That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Miss Scarlet.
Well, I mean, it's a toss-up. I mean, I like, and again, this is just my perspective, I like Mr. Green or Colonel Custard. Now, of course, Colonel Custard, you know, I mean...
Mustard. Colonel Mustard.
Or, I'm sorry, Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Mustard.
Colonel Custard. Like the pie, right? Colonel Mustard, sorry.
He's yellow, so I can see
it's
that.
It's a toss-up between that. So, Colonel Mustard and Mr. Green.
Okay.
It's definitely a toss-up between those two. And probably people are wondering, why didn't we pick Tim Curry's character out of here? Which would have been Wadsworth.
He's the butler, yeah. You can't.
I mean, I feel like that would be a typical choice. Like, a lot of people would, you know?
He's definitely my favorite character in the film, for sure. But you can't choose Wadsworth in the game.
Right. Yeah. So, exactly. I think we could fall in love and we could really say that, yep, movie choice. We love Wadsworth. But, you know, when we go to the board game, you know, we're thinking, okay... who do we really like? Who do we try to go for? You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And the movie gave us Christopher Lloyd as Professor Plum, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. Professor Plum. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely. Sir.
Yep. And I'm trying to think. So we said Yvette. I think there was a Miss White or Mrs. White?
Yeah, there's
White.
Like Mrs. White, Mrs. Peacock. Yep. There's Mr. Yep. Green, Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Miss Scarlet.
The Chief.
The Chief Inspector.
I think there was a cop in there, too.
Yeah.
The cop. And I'm trying to think, wasn't there like a singing lady too? I can't remember. Was it like a photographer or...
like a singing telegram, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Like a telegram. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
And what about the who was it? There's another Mrs. Mrs. Ho. Mrs. Ho. She's another one.
Okay.
Yep.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
But yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we kind of have the idea of our characters there. But, yeah, Clue is definitely a cult classic. I mean, and you know what? The thing I like about that is, have you ever heard of, like, Clue parties? People would have these? They'd all dress up as like the 13 or the 14 character. Oh yeah, look it up. It's a real thing where people would throw Clue parties, and the whole point of that is literally to, all right, enjoy the movie, watch Clue, and literally dive into the game.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, like we should have a Clue night, right? Where we dress up as a for Halloween.
Fun.
Yep. We got to get 14 people though.
Okay.
We got to get every character there. So. Okay. I mean, I'll take whoever. I mean, if any, listen, I'll be Mrs. Ho if I have to.
Mrs.
You know?
Ho.
Yeah.
Okay.
Faux show, right?
Faux show.
Yeah, I totally just screwed that one up, but that's okay.
That's all right.
Moving on, I do want to go to another movie since you mentioned Rocky Horror and Clue. I'm going to throw Grease in there as a cult classic.
I hate that film.
You know what? I knew that was coming too.
I'm sorry.
I knew that was coming. How many times did they literally play that movie in high school for us to watch, like, on
like
a rainy day?
A million times,
right?
And, like, I don't like the story. I don't like anything about it.
I mean, the story. I mean, I think it's cool because it takes place back in the 50s, like, Rydell High School, you know?
Yeah,
but like, there's the tendency.
Like,
it's too predictable.
I know, but it's people, like, changing so they could be, like, you know, right for that other person. Like, no.
Yep.
You just be yourself, and you will find somebody one day. End of story. That's it.
You don't need to change. Or perhaps, is it something in reversal where, you know, we think that, but really the person... Because, see, that's where I thought Danny Zuko was really never a forever greaser. I think really deep down he was a nice boy and a nice guy, where he, just to try and fit in and be with the crowd of his friends, they had to be greasers back in the day, you know?
Right, but then also Sandy does the same thing. She was like the
right.
nice girl, and she's like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to go and change my hair and my clothes. Like, that's totally unnecessary. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, because I totally love good Sandy. I love good Sandy. Good Sandy, blonde Sandy, Australian, you know? I mean, well, she never changed from blonde to Australian, but... But, I mean, the good
like
factor,
the,
where it was like, the cheerleader, the, you know, the nice girl,
yeah, like,
you
listen,
know, the one that you want to bring
you,
home to mom.
You do you, boo. Like, that, you do you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like.
Yep.
And if he doesn't like you for it, then the hell with him.
But music-wise, though, right? I mean, we go back to, like, how we look at Rocky Horror Picture Show, right? Because we know that, like, people could sit there and they could watch this film and they're going to sing every word of the song. I feel like that's the same way how people would go to Greece, you know?
I know every word to the song.
Right.
But just because we've seen it so much, but I don't know. It's not a good
It's not on my top five, but no. I could understand where it could land in a top 20.
Yeah, like, I can see why people like it and, like, it has such a huge following. You know, like, they did, like, it came out in, like, the sing-along in theaters.
Sure. So. And look at the bright side. I mean... Honestly, to think about it, right? If anybody's looking to partake in that and engage in the roles, have a party, be part of it. I mean, how easy is it to dress up in leather jackets and jeans and have the girls dress up as pink ladies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they sell those costumes. I mean, you could buy a pink ladies jacket or a T-bird jacket out there. Like, I'm looking at prices right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, if you want a real leather jacket with the T-birds on it, they want... $249.99 for that leather jacket, just with that print on
the
back.
Yeah, with the stamp. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what material they make the pink ladies jacket. It's definitely not leather.
It's
I don't
satin.
Know what kind. Satin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at it right here. You could get a legitimate one. It says movie replica, $149.
Yeah.
So it's $100 cheaper than the leather jacket.
Well, right.
You know,
it's, you know, like fabric is easier to work with than leather. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it. I get it's got a huge following, just not for
It definitely
me.
Does. How about the second one? Did you ever see the second Grease movie?
I did, yes.
How'd you like that one?
Yeah,
sucked.
It was Grease 2.
I hate it. I hate it. But it does have a fan base to it. There is there is a fan base to it. I'm sorry if I offended somebody on that, but, like... You know, if I go from Grease, I think they should just left Grease alone and should have never went with the second movie.
But I do like the story of the second one, though. I do like the story. The acting's kind of like meh, but...
Okay, so can I ask you something? If you go back to that second movie, who do you actually like in there? Like, do you like Michelle Pfeiffer's character? Do you like...
Was she the main character, Stephanie?
Stephanie.
Yeah, I like Stephanie and I like her boyfriend.
Okay.
When he lived. So, like, he didn't change. He just learned how to ride a motorcycle. That's all.
Yeah, pretty much. You know?
He learned a new skill.
Yeah. Yep.
But Michael, that's what his name was, right?
Michael. Yep. Yeah. And I'm trying to think, because there's another big actor in that movie that a lot of people forget about. Okay. And I'm just putting it out there. It's Nagarelli, Adrian Zemed. If he was in a lot of 80s movies. Okay. I think he was also in television series, too. But, again, notable character. Nagarelli is actually one of those ones where you could kind of fall in love. And actually, before Michael even came into the picture, I think it was Nagarelli who was kind of trying to put the claim on Stephanie. Like, yes. That was her girl or something like that, or his girl.
Yeah, and she was not having it.
She was not. Yeah, she was damn putting that foot down.
Yep.
No, sir. Okay, so we got Rocky Horror Picture Show, we have Clue, we have Grease. What's up next on the list?
We've got another musical, which this one holds a very special place in my heart. But this is The Little Shop of Horrors. This soundtrack to the movie, to the play is fantastic.
Okay. Do you like the play better or the movie?
It's literally like the same thing, but I've seen the play, and actually the year before COVID. So, like, you know how COVID started, like, December 19 in, like, you know,
right, overseas? Initially.
So right before COVID, so like the fall, so like September, October, November, Little Shop of Horrors came back to, like, off Broadway, and I really, 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 really wanted to get tickets for it, but I couldn't. Because they had Jonathan Groff, who is from, for those of you that don't know, he's one of my favorite humans. He's the king in Hamilton. He's in Mindhunter. If you haven't seen that on Netflix, you need to go watch it. But he's also Kristoff in Frozen. So he voices Kristoff in the singing for Frozen 1 and 2.
Get the hell out.
Yes.
Really?
So Jonathan Groff was going to be Seymour on the off-Broadway Little Shop of Horrors. And I tried to get tickets, but it was all sold out. And I was like, oh, like, I needed to see that show.
That's actually pretty interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to throw another
in. I tried my hardest to get, and I failed, but...
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I never saw the play. I think I would have actually liked to see it because, you know, I mean, I remember high schools and stuff tried to put this on. But, you know, like, I mean, it's
so
not going to...
Our high school, that was the first play that I remember seeing at our high school. And I was probably in...
Shout out to Valley View High School out there.
Yes. I was probably in elementary school or middle school. It was probably, like, elementary school. But, oh, no, we were in elementary school, and I...
It had to be fourth or fifth grade. No, earlier than that. Maybe second.
Yeah, or maybe, like, intermediate, so maybe, like, third grade.
Okay.
But still, so I just remember, because if you haven't seen The Little Shop of Horrors, it's, like, this alien plant, and then he, like, essentially, like, takes over the flower shop because he keeps growing. I just remember seeing the plant on stage... And it was I remember it being, like, the coolest thing. And the music teacher at the time, because we also got to see it in, like, you know when they do, like, the school preview?
Yep.
So, like, where everybody in the school gets to see the play, and then you can actually see it, like, at night with, like, the general
public. Yeah, we got
to
see a pre-show of it. Yep.
Yes. So, and then, I don't know if you remember, you probably don't, but, like, I was
No,
so,
I
like,
do, I remember this. I remember this.
Then they showed you, like, the behind the scenes. So, like, they showed the students how, like, the plant worked and how they had to get two students in there to, like, get in there and, like, move the plant. Like, I thought it was the coolest thing. So, yep. Like, Little Shop of Horrors was, like, my gateway drug to, like, Broadway and musicals.
Oh, man.
Yes. I literally just thought it was the coolest thing on the face of the planet. I loved it so much.
Not a bad choice.
Not a
bad choice. Yep. And I definitely agree that it's on the cult classic list. I mean, you cannot disagree. You can't say it's not. Because people have dressed up and people have partaken in a lot of events where, I mean, even cosplay too. I've seen a lot of people cosplay this.
Seymour, Audrey, the dentist.
Well, even Audrey too. I remember seeing people dress up in cosplay where they're rolling their buddy in a big plant and there he is dressed up as the beast, you know?
Yes.
But two interesting points. I really want to point this out. Number one, I love the movie. I love the movie with Rick Moranis and Ellen Green.
Rick Moranis, yes.
Yep. Rick Moranis, we know him as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Correct.
I'm just going, you know, dating back to an early Rick Moranis. And, of course, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, you know? For sure.
But Ellen Green does play Audrey. The voice of Audrey, too, is Levi Stubbs. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if anybody knew that, okay? Kind of he's a singer, actor, voiceover, really good. And really into, like, that whole blues rhythm and beat, you know, like.
Yes.
Yep, and he just plays that awesome role as the voice of the plant. You know, he's like, he's cool. You know, he's like, I gotta eat, man. You know?
Yes, that's literally exactly how it sounds.
See, and and of course, Steve Martin. Oh,
as the dentist.
As the dentist.
Who
that,
you love
that's
to
the,
hate.
You love, exactly, you love to hate. But man, that character, like Steve Martin playing that was perfection. You know, I don't think you could have put a better actor in there to do that role. For that movie.
But
it's movie.
Like so weird because like you see him in all of his like dad roles and then he's like the bad guy in this film.
But that just shows how good of a comedian how good of an actor he's been for over the years. You know?
Gives you variation. Yeah, absolutely.
And he's a good singer too. Here's some trivia for you. If anybody hasn't noticed Steve Martin over the years, go listen to his bluegrass stuff. He plays banjo phenomenally.
There you go.
You know? And
that's
another
a fun fact.
It is. He has a bluegrass group. I don't know what the name of it is. If you could maybe Google that while I'm going to bring up the next one. But do you know who the director of Little Shop of Horrors was?
Remind me?
Okay. Let me try and get my voice going here. Hang on. No, I'm not even going to do the voice. I can't. I'll butcher it. Okay. But let's think of a Jedi. A Jedi. Master Jedi.
Okay.
Frank Oz. Who did he play in Star Wars?
Yoda?
Yes. Yoda.
Oh,
Master
yeah, so he
Yoda. He directed Little Shop of Horrors.
Well, rightfully so, because of the plant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Martin, like, what were you looking for? It's Steve.
He has
Martin
a bluegrass.
And the Steve
he has a bluegrass
Canyon
group.
Rangers.
Yes, that's it. That's it. Take a listen to it. I mean, you'll be blown away because you'll think, oh man, comedian, actor. If you've never seen this guy play a banjo, oh my god, he's so talented. Talented.
Yeah, that's.
And
that's
I've
a
even
fun
seen
fact.
Videos. I'm yeah, it is. It's a really good fun fact. And I thought the Frank Oz one was a fun fact too. So.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Of course.
Moving on.
We've got your Big Lebowski.
Okay. So, and just because talking about Big Lebowski, I mean, surprise, right? Favorite character, the dude.
Mine's Walter. I like
the
Walter.
Dude. Well, you know what? Now, that's funny that you mentioned that because that would probably be my second choice.
Okay.
Hands down. It would definitely be Walter. Third choice, though, in that film... Probably Tara Reid's character.
Bunny.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, Bunny. Come on.
With her green toe polish.
The dude makes it, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely, like, it's a good film. Like, I'm glad, you know, like, I've seen it. Like, is it, like, my ultimate, like, favorite? Can I quote lines from the movie? I'm sorry to say, but no, I can't. But it's...
Well, I mean, we did
like
quote
it
for tonight's episode. Okay.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I don't know. I think John Goodman was fabulous.
Loved his role. Steve Buscemi played Theodore.
Yes.
Yep. And that's actually another character. I think I would probably put him into toss-up. Like, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the dude, Walter.
Donnie. Steve
Buscemi Theodore.
Donnie. Okay.
Donnie. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
Theodore Donald, I think his name is.
Oh, okay.
TD. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's Theodore.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Like almost like a hangover situation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
totally.
You get stuck and you're screwed, and your friends have to, like, try and help, like, dig you out of the hole.
Yes. Yes.
Like, to me, it's like the original Hangover, but, like, without the alcohol. Like, they do drink. Like, what's the deal with the White Russians?
Oh, the White Russians?
Nobody likes White Russians, yes. What's the deal?
Well, I mean, the White Russians, I mean, that's just, that. It's just part of it where, you know, that's where they're talking about, oh, did you have too many White Russians? It's a drink. I mean, that's what, that, I mean, everybody knows what a White Russian is, but.
It's not a good drink. That's what I'm saying. You know, like, of anything they could pick, White Russians.
Yeah, I mean, why didn't they pick something a little bit more, but then again, though, maybe that goes to the whole part of it being a cult classic, maybe a classic drink, you know?
Maybe. Like, I cringe every time he picks up the half and half, and I'm just like, oh, no.
I mean, that's what the dude liked to drink. He loved his White Russians. It was his go-to.
I just
wanna
know, like, why, though? Just why?
I think it was just the fact that I think there was a feel to it or an effect where it was like a sedative to put, or something like that. Something's coming up like that. Like, it was just a good feel drink for him, you know?
Like, I wonder if that was, like, popular when the movie came out, and that's why they chose that?
You know, and maybe so. Okay. Because, I mean, all it is vodka, Kahlua, and cream, you know?
Yeah,
that's
gross.
All. That's really all the drink is. But, I mean, look at James Bond. Why did he enjoy a martini so much?
Who doesn't enjoy a martini? The dirtier, the better.
Ooh.
I love an good extra one. Dirty martini. Love it.
Okay. But yeah, I do like the Big Lebowski. My favorite character, of course, will go to the dude. And if I was able to make it, maybe I would like to enjoy a White Russian. I don't know.
Okay.
You know?
You'll have to try it one night and let me know.
You know what? We'll have a podcast night where I will have a White Russian.
Okay.
In honor of the dude.
The dude. All right.
Okay. So what else is on the list?
So you've got Reservoir Dogs, which...
Definitely a cult classic. It's a Quentin Tarantino film.
Yeah,
and
I
think what actually revolves around that is that there's multiple storyline, and surprise, surprise, I mean, with a Quentin Tarantino film, that's kind of what you get out of a film that he makes, that there's there's multiple parts to the story. But, you know, like with Reservoir Dogs, there's so many, I don't want to call them hitman, but like, there's... These assailants, or whatever you want to call them, or these assistants. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they all have these names. Mr. White, Mr. Pink, Mr. Brown. You know, and of course, it's such an easy get-up, an easy dress-up for loving the movie and loving the characters. Because really, all you're talking about is just getting, like, you could get four or five people dressed up in freaking black suits and black ties with the white shirt. And get your sunglasses on and say, hey, we're the Reservoir Dogs, you know?
For sure.
But it is a good movie. If you haven't seen it, definitely check it out.
I'll have to.
It's one of my favorite Quentin movies. Yeah. I actually have it on DVD. Okay. Even though DVD is not relevant these days.
Definitely not.
I'm moving down.
Super Troopers.
Okay. I definitely would consider it a cult classic.
I wasn't sure, but, like, how could you not?
It's made the list. Like, if you look at, like, because a lot of people have, like, a top 50 out there, a top 100, or a top 200. I mean, it does make it on some lists. Could it be a debatable movie? I'm sure it could be. But I really think just because in the beginning, when it first came out, I don't think it got a lot of great reception. Later on in the years, it did, you know?
Yeah. It's from Lizard.
Yep. And of course, I mean, there's another one. I mean, being part of the role, being part of the movie, engaging with it. How easy is it for people to go out there and dress as the same cop outfit?
Oh, for sure.
You know?
For sure.
They sell those, like, you could find a Super Trooper outfit down at Party City or over at the Spirit of Halloween, no problem. You know?
You sure can, yeah. You sure can.
And of course, I mean...
I thought it was fun.
I did too. Officer Farver, you know?
Farva, yep. Shut up, Farva. Like a liter of cola. If somebody says shenanigans one more time. Farva, what's the name of that restaurant? Oh, you mean shenanigans?
Oh, shenanigans? Yep.
I love Super Troopers.
And I mean, real quick before we take a break, can we mention one more?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
Let's go with Young Frankenstein. I do put it on the list because first off, Gene Wilder by itself as an actor, being in movies, there's a lot, I mean, that a lot of people could really engage in love of the actor and the roles that he's played in movies. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I could go on, I could say Blazing Saddles. That could be another movie. I mean, controversial now these days. We're not going to get into it, but it's definitely one of those films that everybody knows. It's a classic. I don't think it definitely fits in the cult classic category, but I mean, just with Gene Wilder in it and the other characters in Young Frankenstein, it's been one of those movies where people do partake in it. They engage in it. There's a lot of parties around it with, you know, the comical part of it, musical part. And again, it does fit the category. It is on the list. If anybody does look up cult classics, you will find it. So.
For sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I mean, you're looking at, I personally love the film. I mean, I know some people could dog on it. I've had people dog on it. It's like, oh, really? You really like that film? Yeah, it was cool shit, you know? But yeah, I think at that point, Jen, should we take a break?
Yeah, why don't we take a break? So everybody stick with us and we will be right back.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We are just getting right back into the second half of our cult classic movie episode here, episode 53. And right before we actually get back to our list, we actually want to kind of just put a couple mentionings out there that some of the comments that we got over Facebook. It's kind of interesting because real quick, we're going to be working on a social media presence this summer. And that's one thing that we really want to captivate on. Also, in addition to what we're putting out there with Podomatic and our podcast platform. So, and, you know, of course, we wanted to get some feedback on this episode because cult classics, I mean, hey, it's a huge topic, right, Jen?
Yes.
Huge topic that people go over and after. And, you know, some of the movies that we actually had some mentioning this week was Jennifer's Body, Go.
Yeah.
The Spring Breakers, that was another one. Jawbreaker. And I
Jawbreaker,
could definitely,
I think, belongs. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Jawbreaker, I definitely believe it belongs. Jennifer's Body, more modern. I definitely could see that because, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those movies where I think I kind of attach a guilty pleasure to it.
See, I would like to see, like, give me a person who actually enjoyed watching that movie.
Right, exactly.
I thought that movie was terrible.
Right. I thought it was a terrible movie, too, but it's one of those movies I think that if it was on, there's somehow I'm glued to watching it, if that makes sense. No? Yes?
I don't know.
Kind of like if The Room was on. That would be another one. Like, if it
See,
was on...
I've never
it,
seen that.
I thought it was a horrible movie. I mean, yeah, it's kind of iconic because it's got an indie feel to it, but in the same situation, it's just one of those ones that I watch just because it's on. So I kind of get that vibe too, where it's a guilty pleasure of, hey, if Jennifer's Body's on, I'm going to watch it because it's so terrible. Kind of like the Sharknado movies. Like, they're so terrible, but I'm going to watch them, you know? But yeah, no, I think we should go back to our list. I just wanted to mention that stuff that we had over on social media. I thank a lot of those people that actually did give us feedback this week in chiming in, obviously giving us a share of detail in films. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate that. So Jen, I will have you continue the list. Where do we go next?
All right. So from here, this is going to bring us to an iconic film that gave us one of my favorite humans on the planet. So we're going with Clerks, and this was Kevin Smith's first film. And
it was.
I don't want to say, like, he raised the money himself, but, like, he scrapped together, like, 30 grand.
He was low budget.
It was, like, 30 grand. That's all he was...
Mm-hmm.
That's what the budget was like 30 grand. It was probably just something like south of 30. He like produced this like himself, and it was actually shot in like a video store and the Quick Stop, because he worked in both of those places. So it went on, and like, you know, like it went to like Sundance and the Cannes Film Festival, and it eventually became, like, this huge thing.
Okay.
So, like, if you've never seen Clerks, you should.
I kind of like those movies. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because obviously, like, that movie did catapult into sequels for Kevin Smith and others that were part of the Clerks family.
And, like, you know, like we got Clerks 2, Mallrats.
Yep.
We also got Dogma from him. I don't know if you remember that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like, this is, like, the film that gave us Kevin Smith.
Most definitely. And here's the other part, too. It definitely deserves a well-suited spot on the list of cult classics.
Yeah.
It does. There's no question about it.
Everybody loves Clerks.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and if you want to talk about going back to a low-budget film with John Carpenter back in the day, 1978 Halloween,
mm-hmm.
if anybody ever actually does some research on the horror genre, because I've gotten that question this week, and I'm gonna give a shout-out here to our buddy Matt. It's not considered a cult classic, unfortunately. I mean, it definitely had... I mean, if it stayed a little more in the depths of, you know, not being well, you know, well-known, and, you know, obviously Halloween has definitely transformed into a mainstream horror movie franchise. What I'm saying is, I think if it still kept, you know, a little bit below that, it could actually be, and maybe this could be a debatable topic, maybe Halloween, the original, 1978, no other Halloween movies involved. Maybe it could be considered a cult classic. But again, you want to talk about a movie, low budget. John Carpenter really had no money to make or no money to use to make that horror movie.
Right.
I mean, that was low budget and it actually catapulted to be a big, big splash. But unfortunately, it doesn't go on the cult classic list for us. I think, though, too, if we talk about Clerks, going back to it, again, it's a movie that we could fall in love with characters, we can engage with. I mean, how many people cosplay as Jay and Silent Bob, just alone, like the dynamic duo?
Lots.
That's like saying you're going to go to Comic-Con dressed up like Batman and Robin. Guarantee you're going to see a ton of Jay and Silent Bob walking around,
mm-hmm.
you know? But yeah, it definitely deserves a spot. I love Clerks. It's a classic. And like you said, look at how many movies after Clerks they've made.
Yeah.
So,
lots. Kudos.
I love Kevin Smith, too.
Me, too.
You ever see a show on AMC?
Comic Book Men? Of course.
Fantastic.
Yes.
All right.
So, that brings us to Slapshot, which I'm not sure if you've seen Slapshot.
I've never seen this one, actually.
All right. So... I love hockey, so all things hockey, including pretty much every single hockey movie that has been ever made. But Slapshot is funny because it's a hockey movie. It's also comedy, and it's got a pretty big following. Like I actually didn't see it until I started working with my friends doing our hockey gig, because they were like, "Oh, you've never seen Slapshot, you need to watch it." So,
right.
I had to see it, and I 100% love it. So if you haven't seen Slapshot, it's definitely worth a watch. It's fun.
Totally.
It's fun, and it's like old school hockey, because like the one thing that I was like most surprised about is like because the movie's so old, like the players, they weren't wearing helmets.
Right.
Because at the time, it wasn't required. You didn't have to wear helmets. I thought that was ridiculous.
Okay. Old school hockey.
Yeah. So it's very like old school and raw. So if you like to see hockey fights and you like some comedy, this is the film for you.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I will definitely put that on my list. I'm wondering, actually, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. I wonder if that's actually on Netflix.
On Slapshot? It might be.
Yeah, it might be.
Slapshot, I'll take a look. And then after that, Goon. Goon is hilarious.
Okay.
That's, the guy that plays Stifler in American Pie.
Oh, Sean William Scott.
Yep. He's in Goon. Yep. He's the main character of Goon. He's hilarious.
Okay, how about our next one on the list?
So this brings us to Evil Dead.
What do you think?
Well-deserved? I don't know. Because, like, so here's my thing. Once you become, like, a franchise which, yeah, like, I don't know if you should have a spot on a cult classic list.
I get that.
So, like, Evil Dead has its, like, own, like, universe, you know what I mean?
No, right, right, I hear you on that, because that's kind of like how we just talked about, like, how Halloween became kind of mainstream, but also look, yeah, at Clerks. I mean, does Clerks kind of belong into a franchise, too, where they've made so many movies that belong and originate from the first film, you know?
It's not really a franchise, though.
Okay, so that's something to definitely clarify and make sure that we could, you know, definitely include.
Like, Evil Dead, I would compare with, like, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I would compare with Star Wars. Like, and the next one on the list you have on here that we want to talk about is Star Trek. I don't think Star Trek belongs on here either, because it's, like, this mainstream, like, phenomenon. You know what I mean? So, I just, okay, I don't think it's a cult classic. Definitely a good series. Love it. It's wonderful.
I'll agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. I'll agree with you to a point, but I mean, I see where Evil Dead, like, if we just talk about that movie by itself, the first one
by itself, yes.
Yeah.
But then there's so many that branch off of, you know, the Evil Dead. That's why I'm just kind of like,
yeah.
Okay. Burp, but.
All right.
It's a good series.
How about the next one? We have Star Trek on the list.
I don't think it belongs here, because it's such a
huge, high acclaimed fan base, huge, high acclaimed, you know, but, like, think about, like, though.
It's an entity of itself, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I believe that this belongs in our debate section that we'll get to.
Yeah, and, you know, I actually like where you put that, too, because, you know, I kind of think, like, this is a category of its own, like, just like Star Wars. Yeah. I mean, we can't put Star Wars into a cult classic, because it grew to be such a dynamic in cinematic franchise where it was like, okay, I mean, this is not an indie film. This is nowhere near something that started off small, like a low budget film that grew overnight. I mean, this was some big stuff that just went throughout the years. And I feel like Star Trek, it's got such a huge following, huge fan base. But where you look at, and maybe this is going to piss people off, you know, the big conflict and big war between what's better, Star Wars or Star Trek. I really don't think you could actually, huh?
They're both good.
They're both good, right. And I don't think you could really compare.
I'm a fan of both franchises, so.
Right. And I just think for room and for debate, I don't think there's room to actually say which is better, because I think both are different in their own way.
Yeah.
There's no way that I really contribute and I could say, yeah, Star Trek has, you know, and Star Wars are so similar in so many pieces, they just did this to make it. No. I think both are on their own tangent, they're on their own development, and of course, they have their own dedicated fan bases, you know?
Yes.
All right, so what's another one that we have on our list?
Heathers.
Heathers!
Did you ever see Heathers?
I have, no, but you know what, though? I actually just saw this on the list a couple nights ago. Okay. And I was actually wondering what the fuck this was.
So, Heathers is a high school film.
Okay.
And it's like, it's all about, like, murder and mean girls and, like, backstabbing. And it's crazy. Winona Ryder is in it.
Oh, shit. No way.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm already intrigued.
So, this is like an early Winona Ryder film.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Earlier than Edward Scissorhands?
I think so, ? She looks very young in it.
Okay. Not bad.
Yeah. This was, I don't remember what year, but yeah, like, you know, it's like, you know, like super dark comedy. I don't even know if you would, I guess comedy.
Uh-huh.
And like, I've seen people have turned this movie into like a musical too.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's crazy. A big phenomenon with Heathers, for sure. Oh, gotcha. 1989. That's when this one came out.
All right, so that was definitely... it's a year right before Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks really young in it.
Okay.
So, and I think this one, like, took off once it came out on, on video.
Interesting.
So, like, after, like, the theaters and everything.
So, okay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Gotcha.
Heathers.
Next one we have on our list is Office Space.
Who hasn't seen Office Space?
By the way, I just had one of those moments last week where you just had the I believe me, it's so awkward. But yeah, where do we begin with this? This is definitely on the list.
Yeah.
There's definitely a cult classic to it. So one thing I would probably say is that just to start right out the gate, King of the Hill, Beavis and Butthead, your creator, your animator,
Mike Judge. Yeah.
He directed this film.
Yes.
And to me, it still holds a special place, even though some people could find this movie annoying and dry.
Oh, see, I don't.
No, I don't either. I really think it's, I think it's hilarious.
If I ever see that this is on, like, Comedy Central, I'll watch it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. For sure. You know, I think that's one of the movies where it's like, if it's on, like, I can't help and not put myself in that situation not to watch it. Because yeah. I'm definitely going to watch it, you know?
How can you not? I don't know. Like, I really enjoy this one.
Yep. And not only that, though, look at the cast. I mean, the cast isn't anything extravagant, except I would probably say maybe you got three or four big names on there.
Oh, see, I think there's a lot of big names on this cast list.
Okay.
Lots.
I mean, for the time when it came out.
No, yeah, you're not wrong. You know? But, like, these people are in a bunch of crap today.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's kind of remarkable where it's like, wow, yeah. You know? But yeah, I mean, here's another instance where you engage with characters in the movie of itself. Peter, Joanna, Michael Bolton. And of course, my favorite, Bill Lumberg.
Bill Lumberg.
Gary Cole. Yeah.
Was he in Scrubs?
Bill Lumberg's?
Yeah.
Guy? I want to say Cole. I want to say he was.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary Cole, I think, actually did have a role in Scrubs.
I think he was in Scrubs.
Yep. I think, actually, too, another one that had a role in Scrubs was, I think it was Samir. I think he was in a couple episodes of Scrubs, too. Yajé Naidoo, or I think that's the name of the actor. Okay. Hang on, let me see.
Yeah, you're right. I know John McGinley did. He was in Scrubs.
Okay. Yeah, I think he was in a couple episodes. But, I mean, to go around and engage with the film, not just saying dress up, but, I mean, you could dress up. I mean, there it is. There's so many characters to fall in love with. Joanna, Jennifer Aniston. And, you know, that's kind of weird, too, you know, Jennifer Aniston being in a movie like this. You know, I think it just kind of catapulted her to be in it because at that time she's probably filming Friends. You know, she's in the comedy role already. What better situation to try and bring Jennifer Aniston into something
to
film.
Because, like, apparently, it's like, super hard to be, like a TV actor and make the jump to film. And I think she did that seamlessly.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought she was good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But favorite character I have to go with, and, you know, we're missing a big one here, too. Milton. My stapler.
My stapler.
Sir, I ordered a piña colada.
That's Stephen Root, yeah.
Yeah.
He's in lots of stuff.
Love Milton. His character is just, and it sucks because this guy gets shit on so much in the movie.
Yeah,
and
I think he was most recently in Barry on HBO. If you've never seen that, that one's fantastic.
No, never saw it.
Oh, go watch it. It's good.
I do love it. It's a good movie. I do think it deserves a spot on the cult classic list.
Yes. Now, like, the next couple that we've got coming up are very heavy hitters, I feel like.
I think so, too, because, point in time, that's where it comes into key, point and time, yeah. And, of course, comedy.
But, like, comedy, and then also, like, I don't think you can find somebody that can't quote these next four films.
Exactly. I feel like the next one, if we could kind of just give, like, a little hint, I feel like this is played in so many events in college. Like, there might be a separate night dedicated to come and watch this such and such movie, you know? Because I've seen it posted in many, and I'm not even joking, like, I've seen it in all of the colleges that I've attended. I've seen it even in film where people have actually had a blank night of the showing. So I just feel like it's kind of like an REM type thing where it's like that college laboratory dorm room creation. I kind of feel, and I'm not saying that this movie was done in a college dorm room, but it's just kind of like a college, what's that, the word that I want to say, like a college feel to it. Like it's part of it. Like you'll experience it, you know? But go ahead. Tell us who it is. Tell us what it is.
So it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Love it.
Like, people young and old can quote this film.
Exactly. So many quotes.
What is your favorite quote?
I'm going to ask you first, because this was your mention. You put this on the list.
So my favorite quote and part is when they're talking about, like, the 'tis just a scratch.
Okay.
With the knight, with the red knight.
And with the red knight.
Like, his arms chopped off and his legs chopped off.
I kind of figured you were going to go with that. I mean, that's definitely a top.
Classic, yeah. Well, I also like the knights who say knee and the shrubberies.
I think, I think that one that you're talking about where it's like, right away, 1, 2, 5, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. You know, no, I think that deserves to be in like the top 10 of quotes. Yeah, like, I think that's one where you're going to say that, yep, I know it. I've experienced it. I quote it. But there's a couple other ones that I think too that stand out. So we said the night. I'd also like the debating government one with the common folk. I like that. Well, I didn't vote for you. You know, the peasant woman to the, was it King Arthur?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Is England a monarchy? A dictatorship.
Dictatorship.
I think that one's a good one. The Black Knight fight, which we just talked about, right? The witch hunt. She turned me into a newt. A newt. I got better. I'm trying to think what else is there. Oh, wait.
The coconuts.
We eat dinner and Camelot. Is that one? Hang on. Hang on. Right? No, we eat ham and jam and Spamalot. That's it. We eat dinner in Camelot. No, hang on now. I butchered that one. But it's the Camelot. It's the Camelot scene. So the Knights of Camelot, we dine here or we eat here.
Yeah,
it's the Spamalot part. And that one actually had Tim Curry in it, correct?
Tim Curry. I don't remember that.
I think it did. I think it was directed or starred Tim Curry in it, too.
Are you sure?
I want to say it did. Or maybe I'm thinking a Broadway project. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a Broadway project. But Spamalot. Oh, yes. Spamalot. Wasn't Spamalot a Broadway musical?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So, that does make sense.
That's different.
It's different. But, yeah, I think it's either we eat here or we dine here in Camelot. I don't know.
I can't seem to find it.
See how eccentric you could get over Monty Python quotes?
Yes.
I love the one with the newt, though. That's a good one.
A newt.
Yeah.
I like the Black Knight, and he's like, King Arthur's like, what are you going to do, bleed on me?
Yeah. With the is that it's after the first? Is that after the... Yeah, it's just a scratch.
Yeah.
Over top, understand it.
God.
A flesh wound.
A flesh wound. It's just a scratch. A scratch. Your arm's off.
No, it is.
Stupid
it's good, right?
Bastard.
See what we're doing. We're not doing this because we're. I'm actually laughing at it because I'm actually trying to think about watching it. You know,
yeah.
And John Cleese, I think that's him, right? That's John Cleese. He's the Black Knight. Oh God. No, it is. It's good, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, this movie, you can't sit here and you can't tell yourself that you're not going to try and put the English accent to it, because people do that. Like, I mean, come on.
For sure.
But yeah, Monty Python. I mean, and another one too, where people could get engaged with this, like what we just did. I mean, we just engaged in the whole part of going into moments of a movie like that, you know? Could we dress up as it? Can we have fun with it? Can we throw a Monty Python party? Hell yeah, you know?
For sure.
There is room for it, you know? Yeah, the witch hunt, my God. She turned me into a newt. A newt! All right, so what's the next one?
We really do. The next one is Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused. All right. It's a good one.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is where we get Matthew McConaughey's All Right, like on film.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
This is a Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Moment. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of the movie.
What?
Yeah, I know that was going to come. I'm just not a big fan of it. If it was on TV, I'd probably watch it, but it's not in the top 10 category. Like, I'm not going to go Goo-Goo Gaga for it, you know?
Wow. Okay.
I will watch it. I'll try to enjoy it, but it's not a favorite, you know?
All right. Well, then I don't have to nerd out about it. I like it.
Go ahead.
I think it's fun. I don't know. We got a bunch of good quotes from this film. I only came here to do two things: kick some ass and drink some beer. Who doesn't remember that?
Yep.
And then, of course, like at the end, it's like, looks like we're almost out of beer. And, like, I feel like this is where, like, the paddling and high school hazing came from, this movie.
I believe so, too. Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I thought this one was fun.
Yep.
I like this one.
Yep.
It's okay that you don't.
I don't know why, but, like, for some reason that there's something... Walking down the hall by myself, smoking a J with 50 elves. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
For some reason, that one's standing out to me.
Okay. They definitely, there's a lot of smoking joints in that movie, so.
Oh my God, yeah. Well, I mean, it's teenage years. That's what they're trying to. I think it takes place in the 70s, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, the number one quote, I feel like, is, you just gotta keep living, man.
Yeah, right?
That's, you know, when they're out on the football field. At the end of the night.
Yep.
Well, what do we got next?
Well, let's see. On the list, we got Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Who didn't want to skip school and have it be like Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Well, I mean, back in the time, I really would have loved to have his tech, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays, it's probably so easy to replicate with computer technology. But, I mean, back in the day where it was like a kid playing hooky, he had a system for everything.
Yeah.
A sound system of making... like all these noises, you know, and then recordings of him. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just so ill today. I just can't make it to the door. If you could just leave my books, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
And you gotta love everything about this movie. I have to ask you this: who's your favorite character in Ferris Bueller?
Cameron.
Bingo. I am so with you on that. Love Cameron.
For sure.
Second favorite character, besides Ferris. I feel like Ferris doesn't count because everybody kind of falls in love with Ferris because it's his movie, it's his day.
Ferris' sister.
Okay, I'm going to go with Rooney.
Rooney?
Love it. Just because this guy gets his, he gets his ass whacked, you know?
Yeah.
I love when Cameron's on the phone there. Rudy! you better mind your P's and Q's, mister. I want my daughter in front of that school in the next
10 minutes.
Yeah. And I have some choice of words for you, pal.
Oh my God. I forgot. I don't want to say, like, I forgot about that.
Yep. And then Rudy, he keeps on yelling to the secretary, Grace! Grace!
Oh, God.
It's one of my favorites. It's a cult classic. And you know what's funny about this? Like, if I look at the list here, right? Rocky Horror Picture Show so far. Clue. I think Little Shop of Horrors was in there, too. Evil Dead. Monty Python. Ferris Bueller. I mean, a lot of our movies, I think, are coming out of the 80s.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
Oh, and another one, when the principal starts apologizing to Cameron, he's like, pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yep. Oh, man. Rooney. Yeah, he gets his ass whacked.
Yeah.
I love it. I love, too, at the end where it's like, okay, like, the sister shows up and like, right there at the door, and it's like, you think Rooney has the moment right there catching Ferris in the act. And there's the sister to just save the day, you know?
Yep. Because she met the boy.
Yep.
Yep.
Charlie Sheen.
Yes, Charlie Sheen.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get from the classroom roll call, you get your famous Bueller.
Yep. Bueller.
You
know who that is? That actor? Do you remember a game show on Comedy Central called Win Ben Stein's Money?
No, I don't.
That is Ben Stein.
That's Ben Stein. Okay.
And here's another one, too, if you think about Ben Stein. Do you remember watching the movie The Mask?
Yeah, of course.
With Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Remember when, I'm trying to think of his character in The Mask. It was Ipkiss. Stanley Ipkiss.
Stanley
takes the mask.
That's Jim Carrey's, yeah.
That's Jim Carrey's character. He takes the mask to this therapist or this doctor that studies.
That's him, yeah.
That's Ben Stein.
Okay.
And he's like, kind of looks like it might be dating back to a certain age, maybe Loki.
Okay.
How about that for a modern reference? Fun. Loki.
Loki.
The god of mischief.
Yeah, it contains the spirit, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes it go berserk. Yeah.
And then we have another movie on the list that we have to acknowledge, I guess.
Yeah, we do. Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
I'll watch this every time it's on TV.
I think everybody would.
The soundtrack to this is fire.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hella good.
Yeah,
you know?
It is hella good. And, like, a lot of people do the dance at, like, their weddings and stuff with the lifts.
Yep. So, like, talking about engaging to the movie. Yep.
Yeah. Like, it's super iconic.
Yep.
Super iconic.
Not only that, though, I think it does have a fair share of quotes, if we could think about that.
Yep. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Absolutely.
Rolls right off the top of my head.
Well, right. That right there is the big one. I think that if we look at, like, hey, can you say what the top five quotes of Dirty Dancing? That's definitely going to be number one. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, I definitely
think... Spaghetti arms is another one.
Yep.
When they're, you know, talking about, like, the dance spaces.
Yep.
And how you got to have, like, you know...
Yep.
Solid arm frame there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Man, just Swayze. You know,
Swayze, yeah.
Oh, Swayze.
Swayze.
Swayze. Just
yeah, especially in, like, he's a dancer, so, like, we get to see all of his, like, dance talents in this film.
Yeah, you know, I think that's actually a good trivia, if maybe that's a good mention. I think if a lot of people are looking at, listen, the guy just doesn't look great with the shirt off. I mean, he looks fantastic all the time with the shirt off. I mean, I'm being serious about that, you know? Don't judge me over here. But let's be honest here, right? If we look at his resume, the guy has a dancing resume. This guy was a great dancer. He was a dancer at one point. And it's just cool because I kind of feel like, you know what that kind of reminds me of? It's kind of like somebody... musically inclined, that they're in the movie and they have another talent besides acting, you know? This is just another great talent of Patrick Swayze. Like, nobody ever, I guarantee a lot of people really never knew that about him, that he was really a great dancer.
Yeah.
You know? The other one I kind of reference back to, go to John Travolta. John Travolta is a phenomenal dancer.
Oh, yeah, Saturday Night Fever, for sure.
Saturday Night Fever, yep. And he even busts out some moves there.
In Grease.
Grease. Pulp Fiction, remember that?
Oh, yes, yes. Yep. On the dance floor with Uma Thurman.
Yep. So, like, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, think about it that way, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely think it deserves a spot on Cult Classics. How about some wrap-up here? So, you have another mention?
Yeah, well, obviously, like, anything that comes out of, like, the Brat Pack. Like,
yeah.
Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Weird Science, St. Elmo's Fire. Of, like, those movies, they have, like, a huge following today.
Yeah, big 80s following.
Yeah.
Yep. One movie I thought, and I kind of want to put this into the debate late.
Okay.
And if you're looking at our cloud document here, right? I'm going to put it right underneath the last one that we mentioned.
That's a cult classic for sure.
Yeah. I'm going to put but again, does it have room for debate? You know,
no.
You think it no. does go into cult classic for sure?
Yeah, for sure. The Goonies and
The Goonies.
Fight me if you think that doesn't belong there.
I mean, phenomenal. Phenomenal movie.
Fun fact, and sorry, Nick, if you're listening to this. So on Lauren's birthday this past year, one of the things that they did was, like, all she wanted to do was watch this movie because her fiance's never seen it before until, like, this year, which I think is mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing.
Right?
Wow.
We grew up with the Goonies, man.
We did. We did. We should have an episode just on the Goonies.
We could.
We should. I think they're entitled to it.
Yeah, we absolutely could do that.
Let's go to our debate pile. Okay?
All right, I'm going to be the naysayer. So there's a bunch on here that I could probably debate and fight you to the death and say that, no, these are not cult classics. My list would include Harry Potter, Jaws, Star Wars. We already talked about Evil Dead and Star Trek. But, like, because they became these franchises that it's their standalone just universes, I don't think that they would fit into a cult classic category.
Okay.
Because when you think of Harry Potter, it's a whole world. It's a whole universe that comes with, you know, rules and I don't know. I just don't think that they would be cult classics. Like,
I mean,
Jaws, I feel like you could debate me on because, like,
yeah.
But to me, like, that's, like, the best, like, summer fun flick. Like, you watch that, like, every summer. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. Like,
well, I think when you bring up Harry Potter, Jaws, and Star Wars,
yeah,
they're too big because it's, I really don't think it's a cult following at that point. It's tremendous
a
following.
It's
a huge following. Mm-hmm. And here's the only room for debate. I think if Harry Potter wasn't blown up into so many movies in their franchise, I think it might actually have room to be a cult classic for modern time. But just because of how long Harry Potter's been out worldwide and the movies have been out globally, it's nowhere near a cult classic. It can't be. And I kind of feel like that with Jaws. Like you said, it's a summer blockbuster. I mean,
yeah,
it's just way,
like,
too big of a movie to put on the cult film.
There's multiple films. And
there is.
Like, to me, like, I don't hate the sequels. I don't hate them.
No, I don't. I don't either.
So, like, I don't know. Like, when I think of Jaws, like, it's a standalone. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like,
right.
Rocky Horror, you could fit that into a category with other films.
Sure. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree 100%. So I'm definitely going to just say I agree with you. I don't have any opposition.
Yeah.
And again, I think we're both in agreement here is that there is just way too much and it's a huge audience of following. It doesn't go into a dedicated cult following, you know?
So there is one on here that I will go the other way on.
Go ahead.
The Crow?
Ah.
So, Matt and I want to do a separate episode on the Crow, which is one of the reasons why we left it out. Because you can't talk about the Crow and talk about, like, the history and things that happen and the sequels and how it's this huge phenomenon. Like, but if you were just going to look at
it, even got a TV series, too, back in the day.
It did. So if you were just going to look at the Crow, the movie, that, yes. Does that have a cult following? Yes.
But it does.
We just didn't want to, like, dive in, because we're going to save that for a rainy day.
I think we will come back to it, and we'll kind of expand on the topic. Sure, yeah, we will expand on it. But I would consider... I would put it in cult classic.
Yes. I would. I would definitely say I was going the other way. But, like, is it, like, huge today? Yes. But is it on the level of, like, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings? Not so much, you know?
No.
Like,
no. I don't think it has a huge audience global following, you know? Yeah. And not only that, though, I think it just fits into the revenge movie category where there's so many movies, you know?
Yeah.
It is. First off, it's a beautiful story because there's a romance story behind it, you know? Of course, there's the feel hard for it. And then, of course, we see why the events escalate of what happens of this guy, you know, taking vengeance. But yeah, this is definitely something we got to come back to.
Yeah,
for sure.
We sure can.
We will. So yeah, I think the other one up for debate is, this actually came in late, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes. Go ahead.
Now here, just hear me out on this. I don't think it belongs in cult classic. The reason I say that is because there's been multiple vacation movies out before with Chevy Chase in the National Lampoon heading. I mean, just by itself, National Lampoon's Vacation with Chevy Chase, okay? That was the one where they went to Wally World. Then they had National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Yes.
Okay, then we had Christmas Vacation. After Christmas Vacation, we had Vegas Vacation. After Vegas Vacation, then it started coming out with that new one where it was Vacation with Ed Helms, you know?
Right.
But I think just, again, National Lampoon is a big category of comedy movies. I don't think it belongs in cult because you're talking about a huge, huge lineup of movies that are obviously based in National Lampoon category. Christmas Vacation, without a doubt, is a fan favorite of Christmas time.
Christmas, yeah, for sure. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorites. It's a top three movie, for sure. And even if it was on right now, tonight, I'd watch the hell out of it just to love it. I could recite the quotes, the characters, everybody in the movie. Between, you know, Griswold, the family, you know, the in-laws coming in, Cousin Eddie, you know, and Frank Shirley, my boss. But, like, it just, to me, I think it's too big to put in cult classic. I really do.
Yeah, see, there's also one on here, well, one that's not on here that I think should be The Fifth Element, but, like, you weren't agreeing with me on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see that one go, because that was a sci-fi blockbuster, you know?
Yeah, it was.
And going back to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, I mean, if you want to talk about a movie that wasn't received very well when it first came out, that was a movie that wasn't received very well. I mean, it didn't make the shattering records of, you know, blockbuster money roll or blockbuster makings. Later on in the years, this movie actually became more famous than it was back in the day. And I remember reading an article where, you know, Chevy Chase even agreed to that, where it was like, yeah, you know, we made this movie and we thought at the time it was good, you know, didn't receive that much attention, but later on in the years, it grew with so much more popularity, you know?
Agree.
All right. So those are our movies of debate. Harry Potter, Jaws, National Lampoon, Christmas Vacation, The Crow, Star Wars, and... I mean, we're going to take The Goonies and put that into cult classic. We put that into the list. All right. So I think at this point, Jen, if we could wrap up, right? I think that's all we got for tonight, right?
We got one of the envelope questions, though. We had to do
Shit. Yeah, we do.
Yep. So if you could grab your envelope, Maddie.
Yeah. Okay.
And open it up for us.
Yep, we got it. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Oh, God. The handwriting's a little hard on this one.
Okay.
Forgive me. Oh, my God. I can't even understand. I'm going to try and read this as best as possible. Okay. So, if the zombie apocalypse occurred tomorrow, what would be in your zombie survival kit? Zombie survival kit. All right, so that's the question. That's what I'm getting out of this. If the zombie apocalypse occurred tomorrow, what would be in your zombie survival kit?
Easy. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. So, so I've thought about this for quite some time because, you know, we've had The Walking Dead. But in my zombie survival kit, I would have an extensive first aid kit. Like, I'm talking, like, you know, like, antibiotics and, you know, like, all sorts of, like, creams, salves, whatever for, like, topical. Yes, antiseptic, like, crazy, like, an extensive, like, you know, like, a professional, probably, like, doctor or EMS kit, like, you know, first aid kit of some sort.
And I feel like you'd be the one to raid the ambulances in the apocalypse.
It's not a good thing to do, you know? So, definitely have one of those on hand. And also, my weapon of choice would be shotguns.
Okay.
Shotguns, at least two, like, you know, like one on each shoulder, like, or you can get like one of those cool vests where you can like X them. Also, I would have a longsword, like the Scottish claymore, if you've ever seen one of those.
Like
they're
a
huge,
like we're talking like a Braveheart sword.
Yes, yeah. So the technical term is a Scottish claymore. So like they are long. So like if you were to see them in other films, it would be like Jon Snow's sword in Game of Thrones, or Aragorn's sword in Lord of the Rings, but they're like 4+ feet tall.
I gotcha.
So like you wouldn't have to get super close to like cut the zombie's head off. So that's why you definitely want a Scottish claymore, and also shotguns, because you don't have to be good with aim or anything. You just blow a hole in something.
I gotcha.
So, and also I would have some sort of SUV to run things over with.
Okay.
Preferably like a Hummer, like in Zombieland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would probably look at it this way. If it was, because it actually depends on where, what part of the apocalypse we occur in. But I mean, obviously, I'm just going to go to like the most typical. Flashlight. Batteries, water. If this is just me, because I mean, food at this time in the apocalypse could be spoiled, not good. However, military rations could actually prevail for many years of use. So rations, I would definitely try and, you know, search for and take. In my opinion, I'm going to be looking at something very easy to carry, something that could actually be used quick, fast. I would use something pistol-based just so that I could get more and more shots off of rather than reload and re-quick the action of the gun.
Okay.
So I would take a pistol and clips, obviously, because it obviously only takes one bullet to get the zombie down because you got to go for the brain. So yeah, I'm just trying to think there. Batteries, water, flashlight, military rations, pistol and clips. And the other thing that I would like in the zombie apocalypse, and just to keep my mind at ease and sane of what's going on in that deep, forgotten, fucked up world, give me a crossword puzzle.
All right, there you go. I like those.
I got to keep my mind at ease. Like, Jesus, if I could sit in a tree all day and dodge zombies, I'll sit up there, catch some shade, and finish a couple puzzles of my own.
There you go.
Oh, you know, I'm also going to throw in some sunscreen, too, because I get burnt easily during the daytime.
You don't,
yeah.
You don't need some... any of that, Matt.
I'm going to need that.
Flashlight batteries. That shit's going to wear out and then you're done. You got to use natural daylight. You will eventually not get sunburned. You got to think big picture, Matt. Big picture.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. That question would have been more suitable when we were doing the Army of the Dark. Dead. Yeah. The Army of the Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, we dropped the ball on those for a little while there, so...
Well, I think we got cooped up with some specials and everything like that. So, but we will continue to do the envelope drive. Moving on, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, I think it's that time of the night where we take ourselves out, and let's take our zombie survival kits and store them for a time that we need.
Yeah. So, stay tuned with us, guys. We got some special things coming up for you. Some special episodes, some special guests coming up in the works. So stay tuned with us and check out our social media pages to see what's going to be coming up in the next few weeks. So, all right, everybody, we will see you on the next one. Mm-hmm.